Fred Galvin is a retired United States Marine major, but he's still a Marine. A Few Bad Men. He's author of the book A Few Bad Men, the true story of U.S. Marines ambushed in Afghanistan and betrayed in America. Incredible true story of an elite team of U.S. Marines set to take the fall for Afghanistan war crimes that they did not commit, and their leader who fought for the redemption of his men. Major, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Jack.
Where are you joining us from?
Right now I'm in Southern California, where I work for Tesla.
Oh, really? I won't even ask you how much you're paying for gas in Southern California.
It is expensive, as well as a lot of other food and energy. It's really eaten away at the purchasing power of Americans. And I wish people would make good on the promises of making inflation number one priority. But it seems like we had it wrapped up just a little over a year and a half ago. And now that's just like this book. There's a lot of bold talk and promises that people make, but let's roll up our sleeves and get to work if we really mean it. And you can't blame the other party when your party's the one in control. So,
yeah.
Tell
us about the book. Tell us about this elite Marine team, because this is part of this part of the war and terror that I'm not aware of. Tell us about it, Major.
Okay. Yes. As you mentioned, this is a nonfiction story. A Few Bad Men, similar to some of the courtroom drama in A Few Good Men, except this was the longest trial in Marine Corps history, and it was a result of us, the very first Marine Special Operations Task Force that was formed at the order of then Secretary of Defense, the late Dr. Rumsfeld. We deployed to Afghanistan, and right there on the Afghan-Pakistan border, there was a village which all of the fully radicalized jihadists that would be trained over in their sanctuary in Pakistan came across the border right at this checkpoint in the very first village, where they'd link up with their handlers and be shipped off to different parts of Afghanistan to get their jihad on. That's where we were entering this town in a van filled with explosives detonated on us right at the front of our patrol. We started getting fire from a vehicle that was aimed at the very front of our patrol, trying to finish off that team that was just hit. This vehicle had three jihadists firing fully automatic AK-47s right at us. This happened at 9 o'clock in the morning, so it wasn't at night. There's no fog of war, nothing crazy going on. So we had our Marines, they immediately responded, conducted immediate action on that vehicle, shot at it, killed those in that vehicle, and that was what was posted all over the New York Times and everywhere else. So we killed the jihadist in that vehicle. The driver bailed out into a ditch. He actually survived, and he was shooting at us later on as we left, and he actually testified in the court against us, saying, "I demand justice. I want more compensation," because, of course, the Hearts and Minds campaign that many of the senior leaders were perpetuating made sure that we were out there to first do no harm, like a Hippocratic's oath. That became the slogan, to not live free or die. Obviously, this war lasted 20 years. We didn't win it. There was financial incentives for all these generals, the No General Left Behind program, that all these generals retire. What do you see right after Trump fired Mattis? Went right back to working as a board member at General Dynamics. Our last chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Marine four-star general as well, General Dunford, didn't even go on his retirement and worked immediately for Lockheed Martin, the nation's largest contractor. But this book talks a lot about the problems, but it also focuses on these generals who I've just named. You know, General Mattis was the convening authority. He's the one that sent 45 criminal investigators, four prosecuting attorneys after the seven of us, who fought our way out of an ambush, who believed the enemy, the Taliban, that were saying, "Oh, they just killed women and children. They were drunk. They went door to door." Jack, we never got out of our vehicles.
Wow.
So when people try to dogpile Marine reconnaissance, you know, the elite of the Marine Corps, because these guys had never... Now, there's a difference between going overseas and being in a war zone or being, you know, at a base surrounded by barriers and concertina wire. there's a big difference in being, you know, that type of individual. And God bless them. We need those to support Marine Raiders as we were out there fighting our way out of a complex ambush. But it's unconscionable to have senior leaders believe what the Taliban, you know, these riots and protesting that went up to the governor. The president of Afghanistan was condemning us publicly, and that led to multiple senior Marine officers. He had the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at that time, Peter Pace, say this is a nick on our pride. Peter Pace said he spoke with the commandant of the Marine Corps, the senior four-star. He said he was very disappointed in the conduct of these Marines. This was during an ongoing criminal investigation. So unlike if you went to court in the United States, the judge or jury is not influenced by a convening authority that determines your promotion, your assignment, your retention. In the military, it does.
Yeah.
And when senior leaders make these kind of comments, that's unlawful command influence. So, but this book, leave listeners, because it is on audiobook as well as print and hardback and electronic book. But those readers that read this will clearly understand that, you know, these are the actual, I took 11 years fighting the military to get this declassified. This gun battle is no reason to be classified, but the jury heard it all. But the media was constantly escorted out of the courtroom during all the defense witnesses exculpatory.
Yeah. Again, you're here listening to retired Marine General Fred Galvin. When Fox Company returned to America, he and his captain were the targets of the first court inquiry in the Marines in 50 years, falsely accused of war crimes, which led to the longest trial in Marine Corps history that led to an acquittal. You know what I want to do, because we don't have that much more time, Major, is I'd love to, J-Dog, when you hang up with the, when the Major's off with us, if you could just ask Major Galvin his contact information. J-Dog, I'd love to schedule him a couple weeks out for one of our Defending Freedom podcasts in his book. J-Dog has your number, so I'm going to get back to you, Major, about being on. We have a national podcast now, and I'd love to get you on for 20 minutes talking about A Few Bad Men, the true story of U.S. Marines ambushed in Afghanistan and betrayed in America, eventually acquitted. The question I want to ask you is, you're now in Southern California working for Tesla, as you said. How cathartic, or was it enough for you to write this book and get the truth out? Or is it still stress you out and your team that you had to go through this?
I can't speak for all the Marines. I know it's had several impacts on them. With myself as a unit leader, it was a fight that I had to clear the names of our Marines. They did have severe issues for several years. This happened in 2007. However, when we look at what's going on with Russia right now, you know, the technology, the manpower that they have, their critical vulnerability is something I believe we're going to face, because our military has been re-engineered, and it's going to have some of these same problems with low morale. What's going on in our military, we just haven't been tested, but that retreat, and I'm not talking like a presidential retreat, I'm talking about how we, you know, ran out of Afghanistan last August. Let's not forget what happened after 20 years, and now we're supposed to be, you know, after we didn't succeed with guys that wear sandals, use AK-47s and homemade explosives, now we're supposed to be saying that we're going to take on, you know, China after they invade and lodge into Taiwan, just 96 miles across. We have a big, huge problem, and that's the purpose of this book, is to wake America up. We have a huge problem on how we promote and retain the right individuals, and that leads to, there's a reason why people who combat vets are committing suicide, and we're losing good officers and senior enlisted leaders at the cyclic rate. So I really encourage listeners to read A Few Bad Men. The epilogue talks a lot about how we can fix these big problems, Jack.
Sounds like it needs to be have a movie made. Thank you, Major Fred Galvin. I'm going to follow up with you. Thanks for your service. Thank you for the book, and thanks for joining us, GMI Studios. Thank you very much. We'll circle back to you.
Thank you, Jack.